What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
E3 2016 is happening. Kinda Funny is going all out with Let's Plays and reaction videos all week long. Subscribe now at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to not miss a thing. What's up, guys? I'm Tim Geddes. This is the coolest dudes in video games.
Duo.
Whatever. Colin Moriarty and Greg Miller. Welcome to the first ever Microsoft E3 2016 press conference, Kinda Funny Games Cast analysis. This is how you do E3.
That was a great press conference.
Oh, yeah.
That was an awesome, very, very good. And you know why? Because they showed gameplay. They had
so
games
much.
To play and for you to see that these are the games you want to play.
My God, they had so many games and they had so many actual onstage demos, which so far, I don't even think we've seen any at the other press conferences.
Actual people playing things on stage with the controller in their hands.
Like gameplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, this, they had a nice rhythm. The pace was just like rapid fire. Here's a game. Here's a trailer. Here's a demo. Awesome.
They did, you know, what they were successful at, what both Bethesda and EA missed, and the fact that you didn't have time to sit there and reflect. You know what I mean? Okay, this game I'm not super into. It's not my kind of game. Oh, we're already out of it. We're moving on to something else. No big deal. Even like, none of us are Forza fans, but watching, you're like, oh, this game's really pretty. That's cool. Oh, you're jumping and there's like a helicopter with a car on it. Neat. That's something. Oh, but now we're on to something different.
Yeah, talking about what you were talking about with the Adam Boyce thing, where it's like, as long as there's three things in there for you. This, I think, had even more than that. This was like, all right, not everything is for everybody, but there's definitely a handful of things that make you go, oh, that's cool.
Right. This didn't have the Bethesda Dishonored moment at the end for us all to be like, this feels like it's going on too long. What's happening? That it didn't have the EA stuff of like, I don't give a flying fuck about esports. This was moving and had something for everybody for sure.
Yeah, I think that this was an extremely strong, if not like almost perfect, press conference and really however you cut it. I think that they showed games. I mean, there were some notable exceptions. Notice Crackdown wasn't there, for instance, which I thought was really interesting.
Very interesting.
But I think that ending with Scorpio and the way they handled that was super artful. And actually, I want to just shout out Patrick Klepek, our friend Patrick Klepek, who works at Kotaku, who had two really great tweets about Project Scorpio. He says, Project Scorpio puts Sony in an interesting position. Microsoft is putting their machine as a huge upgrade, a next step in consoles. And then he says, if I can find it here, where is it? It says, Project Scorpio is meant to reset the chessboard. Microsoft is saying that Sony totally won PS4/Xbox One. They bet on TV media they were wrong. So this is them, I agree, kind of going back to what Sony's message was. It's about the games, it's about the power of the machine.
Sure.
PS4 was more powerful than Xbox One. I really do believe that Sony... the imperative is on Sony to take back the PlayStation 4.5. Not to say that they're not going to release it, but notice that Andrew House came out, gave a random interview, and said that the Neo is not going to be at E3, because I think they realized, based on leaked specs of both machines, that this machine is actually way, way more powerful than what they were going to release. And I wonder if they have to go back and be like, shit, now like we...
reset.
I got to give it to Microsoft guys. Like, they really like took the shotgun and just fucking blasted it right at Sony.
No, so
like,
that was like. Great.
And as Ryan McCaffrey, our old friend, Ryan McCaffrey at IGN, who's covered Xbox for many, many years since the very beginning, he basically said, like, this is the Microsoft that we were missing. This is the Microsoft on offense.
Yep.
And
not trying to catch up, not trying to spin their message. They're coming out and saying, this is who we are. This is what we are.
Scorpio sounds like a new console.
And beyond it's not generation stuff. Yeah. I think it's I like they keep saying that rhetoric over and over and over, and I think that's a really good thing,
because
it's like everyone's been talking about the phones and the phone upgrades and stuff, and this is them being like, this is how games are going to be from now on.
Yeah, I feel like this is an important point, and I think again will be the most important point. I don't know how Sony beats this at all. I know that we're going to be more excited about Sony's games probably because we are PlayStation centric, whatever. But in terms of a press conference, in terms of a big announcement, like I don't know.
Well, the question for me comes down to is that this is, you know, when all the 4.5 stuff leaked and we talked about it on PS I Love You XOXO, the talk, you know, I was talking about that, you were saying like it's a middle finger to fans and it's this, that, and the other. For me, I'm super cool on Project Scorpio because I own an Xbox One, and I am very fucking acutely aware of how much I play my Xbox One. I'm going to buy a custom controller today because that's fucking awesome. I'm going to play the shit out of Dead Rising 4 and State of Decay, but it's still a system I'm only turning on to really play something like Quantum Break every 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or we're doing Skype calls on it. So awesome that they're doing this. But for me with Scorpio, Scorpio is, and this is obviously 2 seconds after it's been announced, Scorpio is not something I pre-order on day one. It is not something I buy on day one, because now Microsoft has to make it up. I used my 360 in a way that I was like, all right, cool. I've played this for years. I've gotten enough out of it. I understand what this system is. And I thought I was getting that again with Xbox One, where it really was a flip, where it was like, okay, cool. No, PlayStation 4 is performing well. Everything's amazing. Great. And there's not as many exclusives I need to be playing right now on Xbox One. So to get to now where we are with Scorpio, it'll be interesting. And that's what's always been interesting with the 4.5 thing, is that with my PlayStation 4, the hundreds of hours I've gotten out of it, I'm totally like, oh, something cool, a new souped up PlayStation 4? Sure, why not? Whereas a souped up Xbox One, I'm like, meh, I'll see how it performs. I'll see how it does. Does State of Decay run better on it? And obviously, well, but it'll be old news by then. But when we get there, we'll see.
The interesting thing to me is that they really emphasize a big concern that a lot of people are going to have with these iterative consoles, and what consoles can maybe become even modular in the future, is everything's compatible, as you said.
Yeah.
But this is inherently going to hold games back now.
Yeah.
This is still the half step that I think is going to be injurious to this, and this is why I think it's this approach might not end up working as well as everyone thinks it's going to work, because you still have to cater to the lowest common denominator. And I know they do this on PC, but eventually PC games just become unplayable, or people do not play them at low specs. You have to kind of keep pushing. And so so for a console to come out in 2013 and then a console to come out in 2017 and the games are just going to play across them, is going to hold those games back, unless developers are going to put in a lot of extra time to make the Scorpio version better, like we were talking about with 4.5K, in which case you have an issue there with the development pipeline as well. So this is way more complicated than it seems, but I do respect the shit out of the fact that Microsoft is basically saying, like, you know, like, and I think Patrick's right, like, we lost, and we lost bad. And so, like, we're going to take the initiative now, mm-hmm. and force Sony's hand. And as I said, that Andrew House interview with Financial Times, I think it was, is not, I don't think, a coincidence. I think he's like, we have to acknowledge the rumor of this console. And I would not be surprised if in Tokyo and in San Mateo and in all their headquarters around the world, they're freaking out a little bit and maybe are already going back to the drawing board to be like, this thing is not where we need it to
not
be.
Prime
because
time.
We didn't, they maybe did not anticipate in this amazing game of chess they're playing with Microsoft that this was going to happen. So I think that this is only good for gamers, and this war of escalation is insane. I think it's awesome. I don't think we've ever really seen anything quite like this before. Mm.
Yeah, I definitely think it's an excellent, excellent conference. Let's start going down chronologically what happened. They started off Xbox One S. So it was leaked already. We knew it was happening. Starting off big with it, though, with the new controller. Little tiny upgrades and stuff. Doesn't seem like it's too different.
A textured back.
Yeah. $300. It's coming out in August. And it has HDR functionality, which I think is really weird. Like, okay, so
the blacks are blacker, the whites are whiter.
Like the contrast levels, the black levels and white levels are like infinite, you know, what they're saying. But that doesn't make sense. Because in photography, it's when you combine the exposure of the pictures to like do that. When it comes to video games, it's like, aren't they already designed for that? But I guess it's just the monitor. Like, you need a TV monitor that allows you to do all that stuff. So it's the same shit with all the 4K shit. So whatever, that's just marketing stuff. And they also announced the custom controllers, $80 for just the custom colors, $90 for engraved. That's called the Xbox Design Lab. So that's exciting.
Still not up. I've been checking. I want to build a controller.
By the way, an interesting wrinkle. In the new console, the Xbox One S, no Kinect port. I was reading about this. You apparently have to buy a USB dongle converter to use Kinect. So a complete abandonment.
Yeah,
with the new console Kinect, which is not a huge surprise.
I was going to say that's already happened, right?
But to Patrick's point, they are abandoning like the series of tenets that they set down when they announced the machine to begin with. So I just thought people might find that interesting.
Then they announced the Xbox Play Anywhere DRM free play. So that you buy the game once and you can play it on your PC, on your Xbox, and eventually on your Xbox S or Xbox Scorpio.
By the way, sorry to jump in here again. Not one game they talked about today was an Xbox One exclusive. Not one. And this is a huge move to them of what they were talking about at the end of like breaking down barriers and breaking down generations, which I respect. They are all in on Windows PC.
Yeah, Xbox Play Anywhere is going to be a big initiative, clearly.
Yeah, and I just thought that was interesting. I was keeping an eye out for it. Like, will any of these games just say Xbox exclusive? Not one of them said Xbox exclusive.
Do you think next year every single trailer is going to start off Xbox One and Xbox One S and Xbox One Scorpio and Windows 10 exclusive?
These are the marketing issues that they're going to have to deal with.
Well,
because I do believe that we've talked about this so many times, like, you know, ad nauseum on PS I Love You with the Neo. Like, there's the bigger challenge is the marketing challenge with these particular games.
I think once they hit the point, though, with all of this of people understanding the ecosystem, then they'll have a name for the ecosystem.
Xbox One. Know? No, that's so, it. You just ran through everything, and with the exception of Project Scorpio, which isn't going to be its final name, that's going to be Xbox One something or other. And I think that's the thing. It'll just be, Windows 10 and Xbox One exclusive. And it'll say actual gameplay, and it won't tell you what you're watching the gameplay on.
So this is the interesting kind of dichotomy between that's being drawn up between Microsoft and Sony again, where Microsoft really is taking a different path. I think acknowledging, as you said earlier, they're taking the L. And I think that Sony's proprietary nature is well known and established, and it's working fine for them. But will they be able to continue this as well? Because Microsoft's is playing a completely different game now with their approach with PC of just ubiquity. And PlayStation looks at their console as the platform, not the gaming studios that they have as their platform. And so it'll be interesting to see if Sony changes. I don't think you're going to see that change this year, even next year, but they might have to change. The imperative is now, the onus is totally on Sony now with how they approach everything now, now that the cards are on the table.
Yeah, I think the whole crossplay situation is really good. Now, earlier I was talking in the predictions about how I hope that they have something like the backwards compatibility. Obviously, this is not as big of a deal as that, but I do like that there was something that they had that kind of came out of left field of like, oh, they really are going all in on this.
Right.
And I think that it's a good thing for the gamers. You know, we always talk about, I wish Nintendo would do this, or PlayStation kind of does it as much as possible, but
it
sounds like they're just doing it.
Yeah, it seems like the from a marketing point of view, even it seems like the Xbox One / PC thing is way easier to market than next year. They're gonna have the issue, which I predicted that I thought that Sony would have this year, but because the Neo's not there, being like, we're showing gameplay and this is on this console, and then everyone's gonna be like, well, what does it look like on our old console, and all these kinds of things. There's a major marketing issue with that particular approach, but with this other thing, I think it's pretty easy and cut and dry that they just don't care about their console specifically as much as they care about the game selling. They're gonna make money regardless. Obviously their business, that's the bottom line.
So then, first game we saw, Gears 4. Laura Bailey came out on
stage.
What
up, Laura? Friend of the show.
I think it looks great.
Of course.
They did a nice little co-op on stage demo of that, October 11th coming out. They also announced the Gears Elite controller, so I'm sure,
which was cool. I've wanted an Elite controller for a while. I think it looks good, but then they got these customized controllers, and I'm all in.
They need to customize the Elite controller, though.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we don't know. Maybe when it goes live, it will. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah. Then Killer Instinct Season 3 had a really quick little thing where the dude came out, another Xbox Play game, and they announced General Ram from Gears. So that was a little nice crossover from the Gears section, and you can play it for free this week. So that's cool. Forza Horizon 3, saw a little gameplay demo across all the different platforms, which I thought was cool.
Sure.
They had it on the PC, the Xbox One S, and the Xbox One.
And I think it was a great example of what I'm always talking about for you PC player dorks. Everybody else is standing up, having a good time, playing the controller, and one guy's just,
I like driving my car.
Because you drive your car standing up.
Hey, you know what? You can games. You play on a controller, you can go anywhere. It's just like the PlayStation Vita.
September 27th for Forza Horizon 3. Then we got a really fun little trailer for ReCore coming September.
Yeah, that 13th. Game didn't look the way I thought it was going to look.
Yeah, ReCore. I mean, frankly, ReCore looks budget as hell. But I think that the game, like compared to a lot of the other AAA games, but I think the game looks fun, and that's a big step in the right direction for me.
I was getting a lot of Mega Man X vibes with but like in a 3D world where there's a lot of platforming going on and the kind of jump with the dash.
Yeah,
like
air dash. I'm interested to see what Inafune's actual involvement with the game is. It's being made in Texas.
I think he mo-capped it.
ReCore looks cool, and it's soon. The release date rumors were real.
Does it look cool?
I think so. Okay. I just think that it's stylish. It looks like a fun game. I think compared to a lot of their other AAA games, it just looks budget.
Oh no, I agree with that. And I just thought the gameplay didn't look super engaging. Especially when they open it up and she's running backwards, just shooting and stuff. It was like, this looks like Earth Defense Force in terms, not in terms of like, you know, crashing and everything else, but just in the gameplay.
I thought it looked like a fun like 7.5 game, where it's just like, it'll be a short little thing that you do. But I thought the trailer, like with the music and kind of the colors and the vibe and stuff, we gave it a nice like feel of like, this game's fun. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Then Final Fantasy 15 had a gameplay demo that was simultaneously extremely epic and really boring.
The scale, epic.
Yeah.
The action, boring.
Yeah.
And during the thing, Collins is like, I think his controller's not working. I'm like, I just think that's how this is, that you dodge through this fucking hand until you get the guys there to fight them all. And I'm like, not what I would have picked in terms of like, let's show you something awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, from playing the Platinum demo that just came out, it's like I had an issue with the dodge mechanic and all that stuff, because it did feel like you're just kind of hitting the button as you're dodging through all this shit. So I hope that the game's good. That's my thing. It's just like there's still enough there that I'm really excited for it. And but it's, you know, the more of this I see, the more I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I think that that was the weakest part of the entire conference.
Oh, I disagree. Sea of Thieves.
And I think that Final Fantasy 15 just doesn't look as good as everyone's saying it looks. It looks a little ridiculous, I got to be honest. But we'll see. We'll see. Like, everything about it just rubs me the wrong way.
So it looks ridiculous, what, because of like the action and the scale
and like the ridiculous characters you're playing as and this fucking car they're driving around in and all this. See, like,
that's all the stuff that I like about it. That's the thing.
I think you just don't like that. And that's fine.
I don't want to play as like a boy band driving in a car.
Yeah, and
that's
not
Final Fantasy. I didn't know that. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's good.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, the demo was pretty bad. Overall, and definitely a sore spot of the conference, but I do appreciate them being there, and I thought it was over quick enough to move on from, but I think
again, we didn't have super amount of time.
Final Fantasy 15 being at a Microsoft conference is definitely a statement, and I'm shocked because I would have sworn they would have come out at the PlayStation one.
Right,
still can. Final Fantasy 7 demo, please. Then we got the Division Underground expansion. I missed the date on that. July something.
I don't even have it down there.
For wait, what was
Division
what?
Expansion?
Did they? Oh no, I missed that as well. I know, but I didn't write the date. Mm. I thought that leaked though via Amazon Germany a while ago.
Mm. And then Battlefield 1 showed the same trailer that they've shown it like
super awkward,
now.
Right? Yeah.
I think so, it looks awesome though.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I think the game looks awesome. Why are we seeing this trailer for like the third time this week? June
28th. Yeah. Everyone's saying for the Division Underground.
Yeah, so that is the date that leaked.
Okay.
Then they had a nice little section about Xbox Live updates, and while none of it was necessarily groundbreaking, they announced that you can do background music so you can listen to like Pandora and Spotify and that type of stuff while you're playing your games. Cortana's coming to Xbox Live. There's clubs on Xbox Live so you can like gather people for stuff. But the most interesting thing was looking for group. So it's kind of like a Craigslist thing. You can post a message out there saying, hey, I'm looking to play this game. I need this type of teammate, or I'm just trying to do this. I don't want chat. I do want chat, whatever. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
It'll be interesting to see how it works, how well it works. But I imagine, if you're looking for people to jump in and do the exact thing they're telling you to, sounds like it might be. But I'm sure people will be trolling, because people will be trolling.
That's how things work. Then Arena on Xbox Live, so it's like a tournament thing. I feel like Xbox has tried this before back in the day.
Mm.
But I like that they keep trying, because obviously there's a demand out
there's
there
something
for
there,
competitive
yeah.
play. So that's pretty cool. And then there's a whole section on Minecraft that...
Whoa, you jumped over clubs on Xbox Live.
No, I said that.
Clubs! And communities. And I want to hate them because I know the PlayStation ones don't work out well, but I imagine Xbox will actually have some kind of system that makes them worthwhile. Then Minecraft.
Yeah, so the Minecraft section, I was a little bit confused. Like, I kind of tuned out there, and I'm not familiar with Minecraft, so I'm not exactly
sure what
was going on.
It was the friendly update,
but what,
Tim.
Minecraft
play cross,
Realms?
Cross-platform. Realms is the thing you can all jump into right now. I think they were saying that the cross-platform play on everything thing is coming still, whereas the Realms are out right now, where you can go to one spot, I think, and work.
Gotcha. Okay,
I can't
cool.
invite you to a Windows Surface game from your Xbox, but I will one day. But we can all meet in a realm. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat. I believe that's what I got.
Yeah,
out of it.
It was just kind of weird for me not knowing the Minecraft ecosystem at all. Where it's just like, all right, here's Minecraft. There's a friendly update. There's really happy people on stage.
They did
Minecraft Realms is a thing. Here's some VR stuff.
It was that the Realms are out now or whatever, and that the friendly update they did say would be coming to Xbox and other consoles down eventually or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was interesting for PlayStation still being supported.
This section really stood out to me because it was the only part that felt like it was from like a 2008 E3 press conference, where it just didn't do anything for me, and I don't really understand who it's doing anything for, and like the people presenting it were just like overly happy and overly like it just felt
so Minecraft.
Fake.
It's the friendly update.
Yeah, I know, but like there's right ways to show things and wrong ways. I don't think that was on the right side. Inside, the new game from the creators of Limbo coming June 29th. Limbo's awesome and now free on Xbox One.
Real quick, sorry to clarify, flip that. Friendly update is out now. Minecraft Realms will be out next year. And that's the one that's on all other consoles.
Hmm. Then the Xbox ID stuff. We saw Cuphead, no release date. The fuck?
I'm getting kind of sick of your shit, Cuphead.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I mean, they didn't spotlight this game at all. Like I said, when we did it, and you guys can find it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You might already be there depending on when you're watching this. Like I said about Cuphead when we did our little video about when they showed like the platforming sections, that game seems a little half-baked suddenly. It just the aesthetic is amazing, the idea is amazing, but when you watch that platforming, that new platforming sequence specifically, I'm like, this is just like not designed well. It just doesn't look like there's any rhyme or reason to where the enemies are placed and the platforms are placed and all that kind of stuff. And maybe it's entirely possible that the game needs more time, or Microsoft's lukewarm on it now, or any other kind of thing, or they just didn't want to show it again. Anything's possible.
Very, very interesting. I'm still very excited for Cuphead. The boss fights look amazing, but yeah, the platforming is very underwhelming so far based on a 1 minute thing that could have been one of the first levels. So we'll see, but I'm a little shocked there's not a release date for it, but maybe we'll get one this week from their Twitter or something, you know, because we didn't get a release date for any of the games that they showed in that little section. They showed Outlast 2, Slime Rancher, Shadow Tactics, Figment, The Culling, For the King, Beacon, Stardew Valley, coming to consoles.
That's awesome.
Below.
We've known that that was coming to consoles.
Sure, but it's nice to finally see it.
Bloodstained, Yooka-Laylee. I'm happy Yooka-Laylee got a little moment there. Then they had a section about Ark Survival Evolved. Then they showed a fairly lengthy, for the ID stuff, gameplay section of We Happy Few.
Which looks amazing.
Yeah, that's a game looks I played really, at PAX, really, and out of context, it was like, this seems like it's got something cool, but that setup of it, you're like, oh shit, this looks awesome.
Yeah, it's really creepy, and I like the, I feel like it sold me the more it went on. It looks like a budget Bioshock, and I think that's a good thing. Like, I think that it's just like, it's a smaller experience, but it's like giving you the atmosphere and idea of Bioshock, which is very exciting to me. So yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah,
that's definitely one of the highlights of the conference, I think.
And it seems like it's going to be an Xbox One console exclusive, at least for now. The game was kickstarted, but I did a little research when it was on, and it has not been announced for anything other than Xbox One in the console space.
Then Gwent came out. That was announced.
Hooray!
Looks great. I love
beta in September.
Gwent was awesome in Witcher.
Multiplayer.
Okay, for We Happy Few, they listed as first on Xbox when they came out and said July 26th for early access.
Then there was a moment where I freaked the fuck out because I thought they were bringing back Tekken Cross Street Fighter, but nope, it's just Tekken 7 with Akuma in it. 2017. If you pre-order it, you get a free Tekken Tag Tournament 2. So Tekken people, I'm sure you're excited about that. Dead Rising 4, Holiday 2016. Now, Colin, what's interesting about this?
I mean, it's not exclusive. So people are a little confused about this. Microsoft is very clear when a game is exclusive to their platforms.
If you didn't notice today.
And they did not say that this was exclusive. They said coming to PC and Xbox One. They didn't even say coming first to PC and Xbox One. So my assumption is that this will probably come first to PC and Xbox One and then the PS4 later. People are saying it's possible that maybe it'll be on Steam as well. I just think it's possible that Capcom wants to make their money back and put it on a console that has a way bigger install base. So I'm looking and not seeing any sort of confirmation yet. I'm just looking at NeoGAF's thread. We only know those platforms right now, but the language means something that they use at these shows, and they clearly said that it was not an exclusive stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was a mistake.
Then Scalebound. We got a gameplay demo of that. It looked like more Scalebound demo stuff where I'm like, all right.
Yeah, that game doesn't do it for me. The game's fidelity is way better. It's running way better than the last time we saw it, obviously. It's very Monster Hunter-ish. I mean, like a high-quality Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Not for me, but I mean, that's one of those games that's just not... I feel like it's going to come out with a huge thud. I don't think anyone's going to really care about it.
It's really interesting that... So, looking at Gears 4 compared to Scalebound, like, very different games, but they're both action games, right? And they're both written like action games, the equivalent of action movies. But seeing the difference between the American and Japanese side is so interesting to me. Where Gears of War, the writing is very on the nose. Here's a bunch of, you know, one-liners and stuff. But at least it felt right. It feels like an action movie. This guy in Scalebound just talks too much, and it's so off the mark. You know, it's like he's saying all the action stuff, but it's like, I don't know. It was cringy in a way that Gears of War is more like you're in with the cringe.
Sure. Yeah, Gears of War embraces it, where this felt like something out of time.
Yeah, and this guy's just talking and talking and talking and talking. I'm like, man, stop.
Scalebound did not do anything for me when I was looking at it.
The game just doesn't have that. I mean, I think the game had more buzz because of who was making it and the fact that it was unusual that they were making an Xbox exclusive rather than the game itself. I really am convinced Platinum's falling off a cliff. But like we'll see how that all works out. And it makes me sad because I like a lot of the early games.
In an unscientific poll I put up, 59% of 1,700 people say they're not into Scalebound.
People in the chat are correcting me. Tekken Tag Tournament is a Games for Gold, so it's free for everybody. It's not for pre-orders. Then they came out with Sea of Thieves. They showed a trailer,
which looked good. The trailer, I was like, oh, that really? Looks interesting. I was like, they were saying the right things. I was like, I don't know much about what this game is or how it plays out. Interesting.
Oh man. And then they showed the, like let's play gameplay.
And I was like, no, man.
I think that was the worst trailer of E3 so far out of all of them.
Them actually playing the game.
Yeah.
It was awkward because they were trying to do let's plays like people on YouTube do let's plays like us, but I mean more like the people who do characters. And then it was just awkward because, like I said in the thing, it strikes that Evolve chord of when am I going to have a crew together to do all, like, well, I don't want to be like shouting out, all right, raise the sail, pull up the anchor, I'll come down and help you, man the cannons, I'll drive and you do this. I'm like, that's not for me. Now granted, that's for some people. There's plenty of super cooperative games that work out, but there's also plenty of cooperative games that do not work out in that way.
Yeah, but you know, different than Evolve though. Evolve feels like there's a goal. This just looks like, hey, cooperate to go with your friends on a boat, like without doing anything. I'm sure there's actually going to be something in the game, but like they didn't show that here, so it was just kind of like, all right.
The game looks interesting, but I think it reestablishes the "what are you doing with Rare" question. Why is Rare making this game? Do you not understand what you have or had, I guess, with Rare, since Rare is a shell of its former self anyway? That's the weirdest thing for me with that particular game, but I think it looks cool. And I liked the trailer just in the sense that it kind of tries to capture the zeitgeist of the Let's Play and all the things that people are used to. I don't know if it works or not, you know, because I agree with you. I don't understand why anyone will watch a Let's Play at all, but
yeah.
And that comes from as someone who we make them. So just being honest with you.
Yep. And then Greg.
Yep.
State of Decay 2. Woo-woo! 2017.
I can't fucking wait. I'm so stoked. I predicted that last year that they were going to reveal this game. I'm happy they finally revealed it here. I didn't expect it, like we were talking about going into it with them already doing Dead Rising. How many zombie games can you have? But it's awesome. President of the studio has the thing up on Undead Labs right here, talking about all the feedback they got, right? That people wanted a bigger, badder, bolder, smoother State of Decay that you could play with your friends, and that's exactly what we're making. State of Decay 2 builds upon the unique blend of open-world exploration, third-person action, and survival-fantasy role-playing we pioneered in the original State of Decay, and then adds drop-in cooperative multiplayer. The world of State of Decay 2 is larger, more dangerous, and more unpredictable than ever, so if you choose, you can put your survival plan to the test with up to 3 other players. Fucking all in. Can't wait. God damn it.
Then they seemingly ended the show with Halo Wars 2 coming February 21st, 2017. Week-long beta available right now. That's exciting.
Till the 20th, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he came back out, Phil Spencer, gave a little hype speech. And I was like, man, this is so disappointing that they're going to end the show right here without like a one more thing moment. And then motherfuckers came out with a one more thing moment. Project Scorpio, holiday 2017. 6 teraflops, highest quality pixels anybody has ever seen. That's
You've never seen quote. Pixels like this before, ladies and gentlemen.
Most powerful console ever built, high fidelity VR, 4K, all accessories and games compatible across the board for the whole Xbox family. Man, nailed it. Hit it out of the fucking park.
Yeah, I think it was really well done, as we said at the top. One note about Halo Wars 2, by the way, is that I was reading there'll be a definitive edition of Halo Wars 1 coming to Xbox One as well and PC. Yeah, this was a well done thing. Ball's in Sony's court. Don't think Sony's going to beat this conference. I don't think they have a prayer of beating this conference. If they do, then Sony's conference is going to be most impressive. I think we're going to get great games. I think we're going to get great games out of Sony's press conference. But this is how you do a press conference. This is an archetype of how press conference should be structured and how it should move and how it should be quick. And you show lots of things and you get people really excited. I think it was reasonable, the window in which they were showing things. Nothing past 2017, it looks like, with the exception of, let's see, maybe, yeah, nothing. I don't think anything on here.
Actually. Yeah, no, they nailed
so
it.
So I think that's really smart.
Yeah.
It's easy to look and be like, oh, what wasn't there? Okay, Crackdown wasn't there. We're talking about Resident Evil 7. That's not there. So we'll be at Sony. Who knows?
Right.
But man, they came out. The pace was perfect. And even with a couple lulls, you need the lulls to make the highs high. So I think this is a excellent conference. One of the best ones Microsoft's had in a long, long time.
And I think that the Scorpio stuff will start to kind of drag through the we're going to get more developers going on the record, or at least talking anonymously about what they think about these new consoles. They obviously got a lot of people talking on the record, very much so in their video. It's funny because Gamma Sutra just posted a piece that people have been tweeting at me today about developers that mostly are having problems and issue, or they have a problem or an issue with scaling their games to Neo. Or like the idea, this very idea of an iterative console is frustrating for a lot of developers. And I know that too from our own, you know, from folks that we've talked to. But other people also say to us on the record and off the record that they're happy with it and they think it's good. So I think this is going to cause a lot of confusion and people are going to kind of, the dust is going to kind of settle. I still think these iterative consoles are a mistake. But I also think that if you're going to do this, the way Microsoft is doing it is way bolder because the console is more powerful. They're talking about it very clearly. This doesn't seem so much like a half step to me. And I wouldn't be surprised if Scorpio, even though it will be backwards compatible with the old games, has a new name and kind of a new direction as well, as opposed to the PlayStation 4.5, which we don't know much about, but Sony has officially talked about and admitted that it exists. This seems to be more of a half step that can be frustrating to developers and gamers alike. So I'm going to be interested to see how this kind of grows.
I bet they stick with the naming convention Xbox One or something to that effect. Because if they're trying to drive home that it's still an ecosystem and everything works together, that's an easy message. Like we're saying, what you'd put in next year's E3 press conference, that Xbox One and Windows exclusive instead of Xbox One, or you could even say Xbox Universe, Xbox ecosystem, whatever you want to call it. Something sexier than that. Xbox.
Just Xbox.
Yeah. Xbox Windows exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Man, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Games cast for Microsoft's E3 2016 press conference. Join us later for Ubisoft's conference over here at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And check out youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for a whole bunch of trailer reactions that we're going to post in the coming hours. See you soon. E3 2016 is happening. Kind of Funny is going all out with Let's Plays and reaction videos all week.